Men's golf season comes to a close, track and field hits their midseason stride, and baseball is looking to hang another banner from the rafters. Hello and welcome to episode 41 of the award-winning Talking Dogs podcast. I'm Cohen Carpenter here with Kyle Ulbrich and Aaron Spivey. Guys, how do you feel to be on a number one? What was our, what area was it in?
It's basically number one in like the Nebraska area. So yeah. We've got like us, obviously, Wayne State, I think Nebraska Wesleyan, okay. Kind of all the schools around here, we were ranked the number one podcast.
Number one podcast in this region of the country talking about collegiate sports.
Yeah, pretty exciting stuff.
It's a really good feeling to actually be number one on this one, I'll be honest on that one.
Yeah, we've got the certificate and everything.
Mm-hmm, it's hanging up in our sewer room.
How many, what did our this was my mom's first question, is how many people were there in the competition? Because she immediately tried to, you know, downgrade.
Honestly, that was my first question as well, and Maddie didn't know, and Nora didn't know, so.
There's at least three, right?
I hope so.
Okay, so we're better than somebody.
We're certainly better than somebody.
There was a competition, and we were the first in it. And so, you need two for a competition.
Regardless of how many people there were, we were the best one.
We were the best one. Talking about being the best, how about track and field? They are gearing up for another stellar season, it sounds like.
I mean, yeah, track and field, they're always being their best. And this week was no exception. We had kind of split duties this week. We had some of our top performers going to the KU relay meet. Okay. Which is like a combined high school and college meet. Pretty big deal for those who are able to go.
Yeah, that was one of them.
Yeah obviously so. Means that it's very high level competition. You got athletes from all over the country, so the placements aren't going to be quite as high. But
KU being the Jayhawks, they're
up in Kansas. Yes, the Jayhawks. Yep. So our best performer from there was Mason Ostermeyer, someone we talk about all the time.
Absolutely.
Dude in the pole vault, he got second place in that with 4.97 meters. So quite impressive from him to get second place in kind of a stacked field.
So there are bigger schools here, is what you're saying?
Definitely. You'll get some D1s, D2s. You'll get pretty much everyone.
Wow.
It's like it should be like it's a great feeling, though. Second is not. It's like second is the first place loser, but being just being like I'm not trying to be like, but it's a good feeling to be like in this big meet and you're in the top like three. Should be like a big old pat on the back, in my opinion, on that
one. Against good 100%. Competition. Yeah.
And then the Doan invite was also this weekend, and we had a lot of high performing finishers. So we're just gonna go through the first and second place men and women in their events, and boy, are there a lot of them. So I'm just going to kind of go down this list on the results. So it'll be kind of mixed up between who was first and second. But we've got
let's see how good your auctioneer voice is.
Yeah, we've got a second place, Kayla Svoboda in the 100-meter hurdles, 14.67 seconds for her. We've got Hayden Kluth in the 110 hurdles, so that's men's 110 hurdles. He ended up getting second with a 14.8. Then we have Hayden Kluth once again in the 400-meter hurdles. 55.51 was his time in that one to get runner-up. Then the 1,500 meters, we had a lot of top performers in this. We had Trevor Kunchel. He got first place with a 4.10.05. Von Hendrickson right behind with a 4.12.57. Then we'll just shout out Justin Sherman as well in third place, right behind Vaughn with a 4.12.93.
Would you say our distance is the best aspect of our track team?
I'd say for
you're saying on, that right now. You got a jumper in the building right now.
On the guy's side, I'd say they bring in the bulk of the points.
Okay.
Mason is always bringing in lots of points. Depending on the, sometimes our field events are bringing in a lot of points too.
Yep.
I think most consistently getting points is going to be Mason, just hands down on everything. And then if it's a meet like this, we've got just a lot of solid distance guys who can stack up events.
Yeah, a lot of those cross country guys.
Yeah, so in a lot of the more predominantly GPAC meets, we can get like Vaughn and Trey and Justin and Trevor all up there for events, which can definitely lead to a lot of points.
Yeah, because I feel like we're reading their names off all the time.
Yep, and then for the women's side, it's a lot of the short and mid distance is really good on the women's side.
Absolutely. Yep. I mean,
and of course those throwers we always talk about.
Underrated talk for throwers right there. Obviously, gonna be honest on that one.
Yeah. Definitely. And then moving on to some more top male finishers, we had first and second place in the 3K steeplechase. Jarrett Miles with a 10:13.49 got that first place, and then Cole Yunker with a 10:23.96. Moving on to the women's steeplechase, we had Hannah Bintema get first place with 11:58.26, and then Lydia Edmonds in second with a 12:30.84. Back to the men's distance squad, we have the 5K. We had Ransom Watts take first place in that, 15:43.72. And then Jack Ellis come in second with a 15:58.04. We also took third, fourth, fifth, and sixth in that event. Men's discus throws. We'll shout out some of those field events. We had Nathan Baldwin take first place in that with a 52-21 for meters in that one to get that first place. Hammer throw, we had Connor Ash. He got second place with a 54-93. A name we're very familiar with, our indoor All-American second place. She and Abby Wolgemuth, she got first place in the hammer throw, 51-67 for that first place mark. In the high jump for the win, we had Amanda Steinke get first place with a 1.61 meter jump. That translates to 5'3¼". Men's javelin, we took first and second place in this one. We had Matthew Boyer take first with a 54-68. He also competed well at KU and got fourth place, I believe, in his event. And then Emery Gutz, he got second place, so right behind Boyer, and he threw 52-42. Women's javelin, not too shabby either. We had Gretchen Stottlemyer with a second place finish. She threw 38-92. Moving on to
almost
long
there.
Jump. We are almost done. We're getting to the bottom of this. Kiki Nianic, second place, women's long jump, 5.31 meters. Men's pole vault, we had Evan Hill and Caden Brooks both going because Mason was in Kansas. So we had Evan Hill take first place, 4.5 meters. And then Caden Brooks take second, 3.75 meters. Women's pole vault, we had Elena McNair and Kayla Svoboda both tie for second place. They both vaulted 3.2 meters. Men's shot put, we had Carson Fellhofer, second place, 15.66 meters. And then we had shot put for the women, Abigail Gerber, second place, 14.56 meters. Women's triple jump, we had Addison McCarter, first place, 11.56 meters. And then we had really good relays. We didn't run our, you know, you'd call it like first teams in these ones. But
Yeah, that's what you go with it.
But men's 4x1 got first. Women's 4x1 got first. Our women's second 4x1 got second. And then our women's 4x4 ended up getting first as well.
We didn't run our first teams because they've already qualified, I'm assuming.
I think so, but the thing is that, by a shout out right there, that basically the women's 4x1 actually did break the school record on that one, I think. It's announced that they broke the school record.
What was the time on that?
47:14 for that 4x1. So it was confusing me because we actually had two women's 4x1. So we had our first and then our next four as well running.
And this wasn't the A team?
No, the A
team. The A team did run.
Okay.
And then our B team also ran and came in second.
Okay, I see.
But the A team broke the school record. I think is that correct?
Yeah, 47:14.
Broke the school record right there.
So that's probably a qualifying bid, I would assume.
If you break the school record, then that should be automatic confirmation.
Yeah, and then our women's 4x4 did really well. 3:51:24 is kind of a crazy time for a women's 4x4.
Oh, exactly. Sub 4?
So that means they were all running essentially 58-second
400. 58-second, wow.
Like a split. Each split of them. You know how fast that is? Like, dude, that's just like, that's blazing speed.
There are some meets where a 58 will win it.
Yeah.
In the open 4.
An open 4.
That's crazy.
But the fact that they all like ran almost close to a sub-58, that's like very amazing and very impressive.
I'm going to see if we got the splits up here.
And that's what you were saying, too, about our women having really good splits when it comes to shorter distances.
Like,
they're really good at the dashes.
Those mid-distance.
Yeah, oh, my gosh.
Like, the mid-distance really with it.
Yeah, so we had Adriana Rodensel and then Trinity Tools, two of our top girls in the 400. They started it off. They don't give you individual splits for the first two because they have to start it, you know, a bit staggered how the lanes would be, and then you merge after the second leg.
Yeah, that's right.
So they give you a combined one. So the first 800 was 153.59, which breaks down to basically 56.5 400s.
It's crazy fast.
Really fast.
So they ran both of them did a split of like 56.
If you average it, it would be 56.5 or 56.75 for theirs. And then Isabella Salters ran 59.5, and then Kayla Kirchner ran 58.2. So all being sub one is really good. That's what you want to see. That's the kind of times that'll get you to nationals.
I'm curious as to where that stands on the national stage.
If that was
a national meet, you run that, I wonder what place we get.
That's a good question
curious.
I don't even know, to be honest, even though I'm a track athlete myself.
Yeah, and then looking at the open four, the top time was 56.36. So our basically first 800 split would get both girls like second and third.
Okay.
In the open four.
Yeah.
Just like that.
Yeah, that's interesting because I really would want to see like what a good national time is, because a lot of times we're in our own bubble, and like rightfully so, because we have a lot of athletes. You see break school record or has a really good time or personal best.
Right.
And it's just interesting to see how that translates to a national stage, because we hold ourselves in very high regard, as we should,
yes,
being a part of the GPAC. But, you know, how does the GPAC shape up against other NAIA national teams?
Yeah,
I'd be interested to see that.
It usually does hold up pretty solid. I mean, you look at Abby Wohlgemuth getting second at nationals in indoor shot put, and then
Adriana got six.
Yeah, she was the top. She did medal as well. She became an All American for like.
That's right.
On that
that's
one,
right. She did pretty good.
Then you look at Abby's second place. The girl who beat her is from Doan. So usually the GPAC's pretty solid.
That's good.
In the
Like I was gonna say, yeah, there's around GPAC. We got a bunch of talent around GPAC for like what the sports we do right there. Like you got for like just gotta give credit where all these athletes are coming from just for GPAC.
And I'm getting the national times up right now.
Oh, this is gonna be. I'm ready to see what the times are gonna look like.
Yeah,
for this.
So we had that basically 47-17.
Right.
And that puts us. 47-14 puts us at 14th in the nation.
Okay.
For that 4x1, and then we'll check up on that 4x4.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
14th right there, just by doing that, just by breaking a school record, that's just 14th.
Seventh place.
For
the 4x4.
That's like a dark horse, like underdog type thing right there, with being like seventh in the nation with the 4x4.
Yeah. And then just looking at some other, just national rankings, we have Abby Wohlgemuth. She's in 10th place for the hammer throw. Right now, we have Abigail Gerber sitting in third place for the shot put. We have, obviously, that 4x4 relay. Then we have Adriana. She's in fourth place for the 400 hurdles. And then she is sitting in second place in the 100 hurdles.
Yeah, that's what she really killed it on in the indoor. I remember the hurdles.
Yeah, and you look at the girls around her. You got Georgia, Mississippi, and you got Midland, but Florida, Michigan, Florida, Kentucky. So like this is everyone.
She compete with those top Power 5 schools right there. Like you see that like right there.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
Yep. So she is. We're doing quite well in the NAIA right now. We'll see. Actually, I'm going to see if there's any men who are in the top 10 in any events.
Yeah, we can't forget about our guys on that side with it.
All right, it's looking like we might have two. We've got Nathan Baldwin. He's sitting in fourth for that discus. He's been solid on that all year. And then, obviously, Mason Ostermeyer sitting in third place for the pole vault.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we've got lots of exciting things happening. Like you mentioned, kind of hitting that midpoint of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Looking forward to conference. Looking forward to nationals. It's good to be in those top spots right now.
It really is. But talking about domination.
The top spot.
The top spot. Yep. We've got a team in the top spot. That's your Concordia Bulldog baseball boys. They're 33-9 on the season, heading with four games left in the regular season. They boosted that conference record to a smooth 21-3. They've lost three conference games
this
year.
I'm just like happy about that. That's just like surprisingly.
They're ranked 15 nationally. Last time we met, which was 2 weeks ago. Sorry, Easter happened. They were 17.
He has risen on that one.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
There are a lot of games to cover, so I'll just do a quick note. I'll do a quick note about the game. I will do an offensive MVP, some of which I need your help on, and then I will do a starting pitcher, how our starting pitching did, if there is any notable.
Don't worry, I'll back up too if you need. I'll definitely try.
So first off, we had the Mount Marty series. This was in Yankton, South Dakota, April 12th, April 13th. Worthy of note, Mount Marty, they're like the 7th seed in the GPAC. Obviously, right now we're the first seed and we're pretty comfortably the first seed.
Mm-hmm.
But Mount Marty, they played a pretty good series. Game one was a 4-3 win that we actually took into extras. It took 10 innings to settle. We scored two runs in the first, and then we scored two in the 10th to eventually get us over the edge. Matthew Rhodes continuing his great season. I feel like we're talking about him every episode. 2-for-5 with a go-ahead RBI in the 10th. Just a single to score the run there. Alex Johnson was on the bump, kind of leader in that clubhouse. Went 8 innings, giving up 6 hits, 2 runs, and striking out 7. Another great start from the grad senior. And Dayton Schmidt, he's usually the guy coming in getting the save. No, this time Dayton Schmidt got his first win of the season because of that extra innings. We didn't end up getting the lead until the 10th.
All right, so he gets the win when he was in when we got the lead.
He was the pitcher of record. So he gets his first win of the season. He's usually getting saves.
I'm giving myself like a round of applause right there for him.
Yeah.
I give him that.
He's usually getting saves, but now he's 1-0 on the season, which doesn't look too shabby either. In his two innings of work, he gave up 6 hits, 2 runs, but he struck out. Oh, no, that was Johnson's. In his 2 innings of work, he struck out 3, only allowed the 1 run. Good job, Dayton. Game 2 was a 12-10 win. These were all tight games.
Wow.
So it was almost a blowout. Concordia, we were leading 9-4 in the 6th inning of a 7-inning game.
This is a 7, okay.
This is a 7-inning game, but we survived Mount Marty's comeback attempt. They put up a few runs, but we put up a few runs. Putting up some of those runs was Bradley Hollick. You're about to hear his name a lot. He had the most hits and the most RBIs in the game. He went 4-for-5 with 3 RBIs. A couple of singles, a double, and a home run. There was only one time that he was retired. Christian Gutierrez was on the mound, and get this, mark this on your calendars. I'm going to ask y'all, because I think this is the first time we've said this all year. Christian Gutierrez had a bad start.
Wait, what? Just the way you say that, that's like...
Right?
I never heard of this.
I was trying to think, and I could go through and look at all the box scores, but that takes time.
Yeah.
And, you know, come on.
Yeah.
I think this is his first, like, notably bad start.
I'd agree with that.
It's possibly his only of the year. He got into the third inning, didn't get out of it. 2 1/3 innings pitched, he gave up 6 hits, 4 runs, and a walk.
Mm.
So, not great, but I've seen worse, especially at the NAI level.
If this is his worst inning, that's
I know,
not
right?
too bad.
It's by far and away his worst, and even then it's like, that's...
It's like he had a rough inning, but nothing crazy.
It's a rough outing, but it's not horrible.
Yeah.
But thankfully, we had Seth Claiborne in the bullpen. He came in, pitched 2 2/3 of relief, and he got the win, only allowing 1 run in his relief appearance. So you put Gutierrez on the mound and Claiborne, you put those two starts together, you basically got a starting worth of innings pitched there.
Definitely.
In that game.
Right.
Game 3, we finally pull away. 14-1 win. This was just a textbook blowout. Concordia had at least 2 runs in each inning. Oh, no, we had at least 2 runs against each Mount Marty pitcher.
Okay.
Brad Hollick is going to be our offensive MVP for this one. He wasn't retired once in the game. He went 3-for-3, he walked twice, and he had 7 RBIs on 2 home runs and a double.
Dang. Wow.
His second walk was intentional. I'm sure you could have assumed that.
Yep.
He was just okay, and I think, correct me if I'm wrong, because again, I could have looked this up, but I didn't feel like it. He was just 1 RBI shy of tying the season record this year, because didn't Matthew Rhodes?
Matt got 8.
He had 8.
Game. Yep.
So Brad Hollick just 1 shy of his first baseman's season mark. 7's not bad though. We'll take 7.
We'll take a solid 7.
7 is a good. This is a good one.
Braxton Greenberg on the mound. He went 5 1/3. Didn't allow a run on 5 hits, 4 walks, and 8 strikeouts. That takes us to game 4. We lost 12-13, and this was another extra inning game. Mind you, this is the 7 seed in the G-Pack. They played us really well. Hats off to the Lancers.
Yeah.
They're the Lancers, right?
Yeah.
Lancers. Mount Marty Lancers.
Lancers.
Concordia, we led 8-3 in the 4th, but Mount Marty had a 5-run 6th inning to force it to extra innings. Concordia got 1 back in the 10th, but then Mount Marty took the lead and walked us off. It was a walk-off sack fly. You don't see that too often.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I wanted to get some diversity in the MVP picks. Brad keeps forcing my hand. He's just forcing me to make him the MVP. He went 2-for-6 with 2 RBIs and 1 home run. And compared to the other Bradley Hollick appearances that we've just listed out, that's not that good. But this was a very, I say 2-for-6 with a home run and 2 RBIs, not that good. This was a very equal effort this game where we were getting a lot of contributions, so it was hard to pick just one. But that home run put Brad over the edge. Micah Sweden got on the mound, the freshman from California, and he got roughed up a bit too. He went 5 1/3, couldn't get out of the 6th inning, gave up 10 hits, 7 runs, 3 strikeouts. Most of that damage was done in that 6th inning. What is notable, though, is he's attacking the strike zone. So the book, they were just seeing him well that day because he didn't walk anybody. So he was seeing the Lancers were seeing a lot of pitches in the strike zone. They were just getting bat to ball and finding outfield grass with them. So hats off again to the Lancers. They take 1 out of 3.
And, I mean, in those kinds of games as well, you can kind of take some more risks. At that point, you pretty much have the GPAC title.
Yes.
Kind of just putting the bow on it at this point. Get some freshmen in there. Let them get some experience.
And yeah.
Micah Sweeten's no, like, charity case of a pitcher here. We're getting him valuable experience.
Oh, my God.
We've got some people graduating. We're going to need him to step up next year.
That's
and
a good point.
He's proven to be an incredible pitcher so far.
That's a good point.
And it's great to see him not being afraid to throw some strikes either.
It would be great after a start like this, though, when you get roughed up a little bit, to get back out on the mound and get your legs back under you. That is a spoiler alert for things to come.
Yep.
At this point, we hadn't clinched the G-Pack regular season title yet, but that brings us to the Dort series. This was back in PCP, Plum Creek Park, April 18th and April 19th. This was a four-game series. Game one, 17-5 win. And that would be the most runs that Dort would score in a game this series. Little spoiler. Concordia had a 10-run second inning.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
In that second inning, Jaden Quinn hit a home run.
No way.
Yeah.
Which.
But what does that mean?
Wait.
We'll check that in the home run tracker. But as for right now, that was number 89. He is now the sole leader in home runs in Concordia history. And he is second all-time in NAI history in career home runs.
No, I saw a post from Joey Grabanski, Instagram or Twitter or something.
Uh-oh, what did he say?
It's him saying couldn't be happier to give up my record to Jaden Quinn. Like, he's been doing great all year and just really happy for him.
He was a worthy candidate for sure. 100%. And just talking to Jaden, I talked to him after that one game when he tied the record. And it just seems like him and Joey are really tight and they're always talking. Mm-hmm. And you know, that's really cool to not only have that record, but then to have that relationship with the guy who had the record. That's just awesome.
And
you don't see that
Joey
all the time.
Joey definitely seems to have that attitude that records are meant to be broken.
Yes.
Yep. He wants to see the next guys coming and break him. He still has that RBI record, that 300 RBIs in a career.
Yeah, he's got
which
that.
Got some people coming for that, but he still has that crown for now.
88's not too bad, Joey. You're still third.
Still third.
And it's by a pretty wide margin, the three guys ahead of him. Offensive MVP is tough. This is where I need y'all's help.
Okay.
I'll throw three names at you. I'll give them their stats, and you gotta decide. Jaden Quinn went 2-for-3 with 4 RBIs and 2 walks, and he had that record-setting home run. Bradley Hollick, 1-for-3, but he had 3 RBIs and 2 walks. And Michael Welch, he didn't get retired, and I'm a sucker for the base on balls. Michael Welch, 2-for-2, 1 RBI, but he had 3 walks.
Ooh. So did he get – how many runs did he get?
I didn't put the runs down.
Okay.
Don't ask me to do too much.
Okay.
make your opinion off the stats that I give you. Don't make me do any too much.
I think it's between him and Jaden for me.
I
want to give it to Jaden for that record.
I'm leaning towards Jaden.
I think I'd give it to Jaden.
I'm leaning towards Jaden.
Obviously for the stats, but also for breaking that school record.
You got to give it – I mean, the school record is like something that is like a hard thing to do. So I'm on your side, guys.
It's kind of like when Joey Grabanski had like a decent month or a decent week – and they gave him National Player of the Week.
Yeah.
Like, he had a solid week, but he does that every week.
Yeah.
But he broke the all-time record,
he
so
did
they
something
gave him the,
notable.
Like,
the
giving,
National
I'm
Player
give
of the Week.
I'm going to give credit to the other guys, but it just has a guy go
yeah,
to him.
It's true.
Because all of them play good. Just beating a school record is like something big.
But at the same time, you got to get bodies on the bases to score runs.
Though. Exactly.
A one-run home run doesn't do you all that
much.
If you get some walks before that, you're getting 4 in.
That
so.
3 walks looks pretty nice. Good job, Michael Welch.
Yeah.
Alex, we're kind of snubbing him a little bit.
Yeah. Well, maybe we'll get back to him. Maybe not. We'll see.
Okay.
Alex Johnson had kind of a subpar start by his standards. This is still a pretty good start. 4 innings pitched, 4 hits, 6 runs. I think only 4 of them were earned. He walked 1. He struck out 1. But he still got decently enough into the game. Obviously, they didn't need too much because they won 17-5. Offense picked him up. He still got the win.
Okay.
Game 2. A 14-3 win. This was supposed to be a 9-inning game, but they got the run rule requirement in the 8th inning. And Dort actually had a 3-0 lead after the first inning, but Concordia ran away with it, obviously, in the later innings. Another vote is needed. I've got two guys with you here, and this could be a bit of voter fatigue if you don't want to hear Bradley Hollick's name again. But we've got Bronx Lewis, new to the offensive MVP conversation.
Okay.
He was 2-for-4, 5 RBIs, he had 1 walk, and he had a home run. And then it's Bradley Hollick again, 1-for-2, 4 RBIs, 3 walks, and a home run.
Kyle, I'll give you this one.
I'm leaning
this is
towards
tight.
Bradley Hollick on this
That's,
one.
Yeah, the 3 walks, but...
I'm looking on the Bronx Lewis side. I'm
Bronx
sorry.
Lewis had 5 RBIs.
I'm going to go with the Bronx Lewis one. That's in my opinion. I'm going to go with the
Bronx
Lewis.
All right, so I'll go Bradley Hollick. You got Bronx
Lewis. I got Bronx
Cohen,
Lewis.
You got the tiebreaker
it's
on this
It's the tiebreaker
one.
On this one.
I like Bronx Lewis.
I gotta give it to
that's
him.
That's just voter fatigue.
We got Bronx Lewis on that MVP.
That's me giving the MVP to Shea right there. I'm tired of Jokic winning.
I'm looking at the stats. When you look at like like 2 for 4, 5 RBIs and everything like that. That's like, and just a homer with it. And then obviously, no disrespect, like 1 for 2. Like, yep. You see this. That's what it
is. You want to give them both the MVP.
You want to give them both, but you have to give them one.
But if we're going to give one, we're giving it.
I think we have an opportunity for a co-MVP later on, but we'll get to that.
Yeah.
Christian Gutierrez, we were talking about bounce back games. He had a bounce back game.
Oh, there we go.
7 innings pitched, 5 hits, gave up 3 runs, but none of them were earned. He struck out 8. The runs that came across and were all by virtue of an error. So there was an error that was made that could have ended the inning, didn't end the inning. So he gets credit for the 3 runs, but none of them earned, so it's not going to hurt his ERA, obviously.
Okay.
Game 3, and I double-checked the score. This was a 23-1 win.
Oh, my gosh.
23-1?
And this was only in 6 innings of offense. This was a 7-inning game, and we didn't bat in the bottom of the 7th, obviously, because we had the lead. So we scored 6 in the 1st, 1 in the 2nd, 6 in the 3rd, went scoreless in the 4th. What were we doing? We scored 4 in the 5th, 6 in the 6th, and then we didn't get a chance to bat in the 7th. Dort scored 1 in the 6th, and that was it.
just so, counting that many hits, man.
And then
they really let him bat in the 7th just to see. Just to see. Can you get 22?
I mean, how early can you run rule a game, you know?
That is true.
Like, if it's 20-0 at the first inning, you're like, yeah, maybe you can chip together a few base runners.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is another one tough. And I don't even know if I'll make y'all vote, because I think this may be a co-MVP situation, but y'all tell me. Jaden Quinn officially goes down 1 for 1. He hit 1 3-run home run, and he walked 3 times.
Okay.
Okay.
So they're not letting him hit.
That's just like
this. And we'll get to this later, but Quinn's got a really good eye at the plate.
Okay.
And then Bradley Hollick again, 2 for 6. With 6 RBIs and a home run.
We've got to give it to him this
time. I got to give it to him. The six, bro. It's the 6. It's the
I like Quinn, though. I'm a sucker for base on
love. You just don't want him to win.
You seem to hate Brad.
I love.
You just don't want him to win.
Have y'all seen Moneyball?
Did he, like, slash your tires?
Did
he cut you off in traffic?
I'm a big fan of Moneyball.
But, like, you got to understand, the stats don't lie on these ones. Like,
he gets on.